Welcome to Press A to Play, an exploration of video game music from Northwest Public Broadcasting. Together, we're going on a journey through the world of video game music, which has grown from the beeps and boops of chiptunes in the 80s to the fully orchestrated cinematic soundtracks of today. Get ready to play. Let's press A. I'm Anjali Dodia.
I'm Connor Henriksen.
I'm Devin Gay, and today we're going to be looking at one of Nintendo's most beloved franchises.
Pokemon?
No, not Pokemon. This is a Nintendo staple that launched on the NES in the 80s.
Ooh, Donkey Kong.
Ooh, I think that was an arcade game first.
Well, it better not be Mario. We already did that one, and I am still traumatized.
It's none of those. We're listening to Zelda music today.
Oh, of course.
The music of The Legend of Zelda has grown from the catchy melodies first composed by Koji Kondo into the full sweeping orchestral pieces that form the heart and soul of the series today. We're going to jump right in with a fan favorite from The Wind Waker, the song titled Dragon Roost Island.
Thank you.
You just heard Dragon Roost Island, composed by Kenta Nagata, for The Wind Waker, followed by Rito Village, created for Breath of the Wild almost 15 years later.
Oh, that first song was really fun. It has such a jaunty nautical feel.
Yeah, Wind Waker was all about sailing the ocean from island to island, so that's a perfect fit. Dragon Roost Island was the home of the Rito tribe, who showed up again in Breath of the Wild, so the Rito Village theme incorporates the same melodies.
A recurring theme like that is called a leitmotif. That's a melody or musical phrase that's often associated with a character or a place or even a feeling or concept.
So where Wind Waker was about high adventure and sailing the seas, Breath of the Wild is a much more peaceful experience, exploring the wilderness, finding beauty and magic in nature. So you hear that in Rito Village.
It actually really reminds me of Joe Hisaishi's work for Studio Ghibli, like something from Howl's Moving Castle or Kiki's Delivery Service.
Oh, but then, in the next game, Tears of the Kingdom, you return to Rito Village, but tragedy has struck. You find that this peaceful village has been frozen over by a relentless blizzard.
Uh-oh.
The only way to save the village is to brave the storm, fly up through hurricane winds, and find the magical source, a giant demonic flying centipede, Colgara.
Ugh, that's terrifying.
The music during this battle is tense and chaotic. You're being tossed around in the sky, trying to find your bearings, but every time you land a blow against the creature, the music swells and breaks into the Rito motif, giving you the courage to keep fighting.
Ooh, let's go.
I'm in. Let's revisit Rito Village now that it's frozen over and save it from the evil demon Colgara.
Thank you.
You're listening to Press A to Play, an exploration of video game music from Northwest Public Broadcasting. I'm Connor.
I'm Devin.
I'm Angeli, and today we're listening to music from The Legend of Zelda, a classic fantasy adventure about a sword-wielding hero who slays demons and rescues the princess. It's one of Nintendo's most popular series.
And also some of their most popular music. The soundtracks for both Super Mario Bros. And The Legend of Zelda were originally composed by Koji Kondo, who continued to work on both series for decades.
Yeah, his early compositions really laid the groundwork for Nintendo's musical identity.
But where Mario keeps reinventing himself and getting a new soundtrack for every game, each Zelda game tends to take the themes of its predecessors and build on them in every sense of the word.
As the gameplay and story evolved, so did the soundtrack.
Exactly. From some of the earliest games in the 80s and 90s, they established leitmotifs for major themes and characters and developed these motifs into new pieces to reflect the history behind the characters and locations.
Yes, and you can follow the progression of those melodies through the years and the games. They invoke memories and emotions, create a deeper narrative, and sometimes tell a story all their own. It's similar to what John Williams did for the Star Wars soundtrack. You know, you hear the brass of the Imperial March and you know Darth Vader is coming, but you hear it played softly by strings, and the composer has hinted at Anakin Skywalker's path to the dark side.
Just like Star Wars, the Zelda series has several motifs tied to the main characters that are used to hint at their motivations. Two songs that tend to make their way into every Zelda game in some form representing Link and Zelda themselves, the main overworld theme and Zelda's lullaby.
Thank you.
Zelda's Lullaby, and before that, the main overworld theme from The Legend of Zelda, performed here by the Tokyo Philharmonic Orchestra for the 30th anniversary of the series.
The melodies in these two pieces have become synonymous with two of the foundational building blocks of every storyline in the series: Link's courageous struggle to defeat evil and Zelda's desire for peace.
And having been around for decades, these pieces have become nostalgic to longtime fans.
So instead of playing them outright, the composers can sprinkle in bits and pieces of these motifs to clue in players who are in the know about story elements.
Sometimes they're obvious, sometimes they are very subtle.
So subtle that I didn't even notice some of these when I played the games. I only spotted them when I was researching music for this episode.
These next pieces from Breath of the Wild each reference Zelda's Lullaby or the overworld theme in some way. Sometimes both, so listen carefully for those motifs.
Thank you.
Today on Press A to Play, we're exploring the music of The Legend of Zelda. I'm Angeli.
I'm Connor.
I'm Devin. And there's a common misconception that we really need to address.
Yes, I agree. Folks, you gotta get it. You're playing as Link, not Zelda. Zelda is the princess.
Okay, that's true, but that's not what I meant.
Oh.
If you've never played a Zelda game, you're probably wondering why Zelda keeps getting kidnapped and Link keeps having to save her.
Yeah, get it together. They're almost as bad as Mario and Peach.
True, but here's the thing. Almost every game in the series, it's actually been a different Link and Zelda.
What? How does that work?
Basically, every time some evil force is on the rise in the world, they get reincarnated.
That explains how they get away with crazy shenanigans like time traveling or building the kingdom up on a bunch of floating islands in the sky.
Exactly, and then future generations come back and tell legends about the hero who saved Hyrule.
The Legend of Link.
No, The Legend of Zelda.
Okay, I get why people are confused.
Thank you.
Cass's Song of the Hero from Breath of the Wild, and before that, the legendary Hero from Wind Waker, songs that play while retelling the legends of heroes from the past.
Okay, is it just me, or did that one from the Wind Waker feel a little dark?
Yeah, so that's a story where evil kind of won. The gods just flooded the entire kingdom and started over.
Okay, that's a bit biblical.
Bit of an overreaction, if you ask me.
All right. So one of the last pieces I want to share with you. This is a really special sequence to me, but it might spoil a plot twist in one of the recent games, Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, gosh. So if you're still playing that game, plug your ears for a few minutes.
Okay, I won't go into too much detail, but these next pieces hold tiny hints of a leitmotif that we've already heard. And if you're paying attention when you hear these songs in-game, they might just give you a clue to a certain character's fate.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. This has been Press A to Play, a production of Northwest Public Broadcasting.
Research and editing by Lyric Cano. Original theme music by Austin Schlichting. You can find out more at nwpb.org/pressa.
I'm Connor.
I'm Angeli.
I'm Devin. And remember, it's dangerous to go alone. Take this.